Agenda is before you. We go for citizens' comments. Seeing none, on to approval of minutes. Joe Lynn sent out a note yesterday with the summary of the minutes as far as where different items were taken action on. There was an audio file if somebody wanted to take a look or listen at that.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Before we get started with the formal agenda here, I just want to mention Joe Huck has been sentenced again for another term until July of 2018, so thank you very much for your help.
Parole for you.
I was also going to mention that this would be Joe Lynn's last meeting. She is set to retire in December, so thank you, Joe Lynn, for everything you've done.
Wherever you may be.
But with that, we can move on to point four. We have a demonstration of the floodplain mapping. So, Scott, I think you know everybody, right? Everybody knows Scott? And Greg?
Of course. Thank you. We were asked to demonstrate a tool that we recently put together here at the county. It's a flood inundation viewer on the Fox River floodplain up in the towns of Cleveland, Salem, and the village of Silver Lake. It's a fairly useful tool for us that's been put into use here at the county. It's been very helpful. It's a very focused application. It does one thing, but it does it well, and I think you'll see that here very soon. And we'd like to share that with you today. So, this application, how this came about was there was three of us technical staff were at a meeting down in Lake County, and they had a viewer on the Fox River floodplain, and we saw it in action. And
thank you so much, man.
We thought that's something that might be very useful to implement here at the county. And after talking to a number of people, we started putting it together. This tool uses our 2010 LIDAR data. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in the next slide or two. That LIDAR data was critical in providing the necessary data to show you what you'll see today, to show you those flooding areas. And one thing we always like to stress is this application is just a predictive model. It's not in any way meant to replace proper stormwater engineering. This is a prediction of where flooding will happen, and with all due respect to proper stormwater engineering, that's where we still need to focus on the proper engineering in these places. Here's a quick map of the Fox River as it crosses Kenosha County. We have a very extensive floodplain mitigation program area here in the towns of Wheatland, Salem, and Silver Lake. Through that program, we are purchasing a lot of homes and properties that probably never should have been developed in the first place because they were built at a time when the floodplain was not fully understood. So, to go back to the LIDAR data, how we got our LIDAR data was unfortunately because of some flooding events we had in 2008. The worst flooding we've ever had along the Fox River, 15.1 foot crest level. Because of that flooding, and not only here in Kenosha County, but across essentially the southern third of the state, the Community Development Block Grant Program, Emergency Assistance Program, had grants that were given out to all the counties in the southern third of the state at the county's discretion if they wanted it. At that time, we didn't have a lot of detailed data for the Fox River, so we put in for a grant, and we were awarded the largest grant in the state at that time for $175,000, so we were very fortunate. What that LIDAR data did for us was it allowed us to send a plane up in the air, shoot laser pulses at the Earth's surface, and collect a very detailed three-dimensional picture of the Earth's surface, okay? And essentially the data that the comprises that picture is what you're seeing here, and it's being used to show you the flooding areas. We made, after we received the application from Lake County and from Cass County in South Dakota, we made some modifications to the data. It looked somewhat basic in nature. We added some functionality, and that was all thanks to Jonathan Creston in our IT department. He added the, these nice enhancements. We added some tabs to it. There's a NOAA RSS feed, so we can see the river gauge station information. And we modified the sandbag tool, and then we added some impact functionality. We have some future ideas on where to go with this application. I know, without having seen this yet, I hate to give this to you now, but I'll run through this entire presentation real quickly. We'd like to look at possibly generating mailing lists of the properties that the river touches at a certain flood level. That's a possibility. We'd like to add additional bodies of water. Like I said, this is only currently for the Fox River. We could go to other rivers where we do experience flooding. And we'd like to measure the water levels at future flood events to better refine our projections, especially on those different water bodies. With that, we'll give you a demo of the app. And I apologize, it's somewhat cut off here, but this is the basic app, and it just shows a base map, and you do have an option of switching between a parcel base map and an aerial base map. I like to use the aerial myself, but the option is there. And very simply, what this application does, it allows you to adjust the slider bar down on the bottom and get to a flood stage level. So we can set it to the 10-foot flood stage level, and those are the areas there that are typically inundated at the 10-foot stage. And if you'll, let me zoom in here a bit and go back. If you'll notice, this photo was taken when probably just after some flooding
took place.
So you can see water on the ground here. So by using that water on the ground, we can see that the flooding was at approximately 10 and a half feet or near there at that time that photo was taken. And so we can project this out to record flood levels to see the impact on properties.
That house got.
For properties that perhaps have never been flooded before, but the way history tells us, there will be historic flooding there at some point in the future. If I recall correctly, within the last 15 years, 9 of the top 10 floods have happened out at the Fox River. So it's something that we're dealing with on a continual basis. Up here on the right, we have some tabs built into the application. This shows us some staging information on the river itself. This is a feed from the NOAA National Weather Service site. It shows the current river level. Right now it's very low. We haven't had a lot of precipitation lately. By clicking on this graphic, we can scoot right out to the NOAA site and get all the information on the gauge station and so forth. We can also see the forecast. This is very helpful when there is a flooding event upon us. We can see, it's hard to see here, but if I clicked on this and went to the web page, you'd be able to see what the predicted levels of the river will be in the next 24, 48 hours. There is a levee function to this application. What this levee function will do is it will allow us to calculate the number of sandbags to be used to keep the structure out of the floodplain.
That's a lot of sandbags.
So if we tell it we'd like to make a 4-foot tall wall of sandbags around this home here and garage, we can do that. And in this, the peachy color there, it's giving the footprint of your sandbag dike. It tells us we need 18,131 sandbags.
What was that all?
So go and have those downstairs.
Yeah. Like, you know, how many you got handy on you?
But we could have used the spring downstairs.
Are you saying we need to buy more sandbags, Gil?
You know, this application was built on the Red River in Cass County in South, or North Dakota, I believe. And sandbagging there is really big. We don't do a lot of it here. There is some, but that's where this functionality came from primarily. And then we also have an impact button where we can set the flood stage and then calculate the impact, and it will count the number of parcels and buildings that are affected by the flood stage. It takes a little while to run. It crunches a lot of numbers in the background. But that's something fun and useful also. So in a nutshell, that's it. It's a very focused application, very almost singular in nature. But something that we believe is very helpful to the county.
Scott, when you were talking about generating mailing lists, are you just talking physical mailing lists, or are we talking more like email or cell phone or something like that for conversation?
At this point, just physical mailing lists. It's grabbing the data on the tax
roll. Okay.
You've had the floodplains along the Fox River mapped for probably 50 years. And you've been buying properties and removing them from that 100-year recurrence interval flood hazard line. Has anybody compared your new data with the older 100-year line?
There has been some comparison, especially when the new data came in, and I think they're very close, as I recall. They're not much different at all. It's just, there's very subtle differences, but it's not differences of 25 feet. We're talking differences of
a few feet.
2 feet, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet, maybe even less in a lot of places. So.
How much land have we picked
up? I don't want to put words, excuse me, just a minute. Are you saying that the old line and your new data are in substantial conformance? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the old floodplain data and the new FEMA floodplain data are very close. Correct. The LIDAR data is somewhat different, and things are very close across the board. And I think that's a testament to the way that all the data's been put together over the years.
And I think just for clarification, the point that kind of was with this is that you have the 100-year floodplain out there, but then what gets reported from National Weather Service is the flood stage. And the flood stage is based upon something completely different than elevation. And so that was the problem that we kept on running into, is when they said, you know, the flood stage is at 12. Well, what did that mean? Who's affected by that? And it wasn't until we were able to be told the flood stage was at 15.1 and we took an actual GPS coordinate at that level that we were able to get a coordination of the two. And then that's where this was developed. And so when it says a flood stage of 10.5, well, now we know what elevation that corresponds to. And that's where Scott said the only way to get this better is to take more elevations when the flooding occurs. So it's kind of bridging that those two things, the actual floodplain elevation and the National Weather Service flood stage.
Terry, did you have a comment?
Yeah. Do you know how many properties we've picked up since we started?
I think it's now 102.
Is this through Sewer Pack?
Or is it through the county?
The county, isn't it?
The bio program, the Sousa Housing Authority, which the sewer PAC is contracted to do the work on.
Okay. The question is, how many are left?
Well, 74, we have about, I think.
Yeah, we have about 20 of them that we've just sent out for title search, I think, right? Wasn't that what was
on the
our
vacant
list?
Lots?
Yeah, the vacant lots.
Yeah, but of actual structures, I think there's 74. But what Terry's referring to is there's lots that are vacant that are tax delinquent, and we're looking to try to acquire those.
So no one else will try to build on them.
Right. When does the LIDAR data get refreshed? Is that on schedule, or is it as we require?
Kind of as we require right now. I think we got new LIDAR data, which was fairly accurate.
Yeah.
There was a program that had come through. I talked to Andy about it too, and there was some funds that were going to come from the federal government in order to try to update LIDAR. They're still trying to get those funds, and from what I understand, those funds are going to be minimal. To tell you the truth, so.
So we're okay with the 20.
I think we're pretty good with it, and you can comment on that if I'm wrong. But I think
I think you're right. I think that's one of those things that since we switched over from doing information by the section, remember we had to do it by section to determine what the topography is that LIDAR covered the whole county, and we'll just have to determine areas where there was some great change to then update it. But if nothing's really changed, what's really changing out there?
Okay. The PI system is about one of the things I think we mentioned about too, or you talked to me about.
Yeah, just that corridor
there. I-94 corridor.
I-94 corridor is what we're looking
for. So a couple of years ago, we had the hurricane on the East Coast that we were concerned was going to send this big rogue wave, right, across Lake Michigan and affect us. And is that an area that you would think you'd want to take a look at for future projects, or is that not really, is that...
Completely freakish?
Yeah.
Without being versed in storm surges, and not being an engineer of some type, I honestly don't know. But it's something that would be worth looking into.
Right. Maybe not the highest priority.
Right.
Just curious.
That number of sandbags you talked about and things like that, when Moose Lake, Minnesota had a flood there, the Department of Transportation has 10,000-gallon ladders that they put around a grocery store to save it from getting flooded, because it's the only grocery store within
forever.
40 miles. So they wanted to save that. And they put three bladders in front of it, and it stopped the water from coming in even into the parking lot. And 3 days after the flood subsided, they just came and emptied them out and rolled it up.
Wow.
It took water to save it from the water.
But built the wall.
I don't know. I understand that Wisconsin doesn't have any of those, but I think they, in flood areas, it would be a functional thing.
Hmm. Great. Well, good presentation. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. So, 5 through 12?
Al. We'll just say 7.
And now for the Al show.
7, 8, and 9 are together pretty much. So, let's just say we can consolidate those things.
Okay.
First thing, I'm going to repeat a little bit of what happened in our last meeting. Act 20 came through, which was something the state wanted as far as different kinds of information for... land information to try to put up things on the internet and to change some of the ways that money are distributed. There was a base budget grants that went mostly for smaller counties. They had $50,000 they used to get, and that was increased to $100,000. Of course, unfortunately, Kenosha County receives $100,000 in funds from recordings, so we're not affected by that. That's hopefully would change for a little bit in the future, but there was an increase in training grants from $300 to $1,000. Update in the modernization plan. Modernization plan just discusses what you need to do as far as any kind of changes in the future. They went from 3 years for modernization to 5 years, and they said that right now, or they went from 5 years to 3 years, other way around. They said the modernization plan was good as 2014, so we really don't have to update that plan again until 2017. They repealed the sunset clause, the $5 that was going to the registered deeds for redaction. And that money will now be reallocated to the State Department of Administration, and they were put into a separate fund, though, which would be the Land Information Program Fund. So in this instance now, the governor can't, or whoever is governor or any agency, can't go in and grab the money without actually having some sort of justification for grabbing the money. So sad.
I was going to say. Without passing something, saying yes, they can go and grab the money.
I should say that. The one that's really is causing an impact is the creation of a statewide parcel map. The Department of Administration wants to create a statewide map, a seamless map that would have parcels identified on it. And the reason they want to do that is to show different kinds of valuations that occur throughout the state. If there's like we said, a tornado that happened or anything like that, they can identify the parcels that are affected by those tornadoes across boundary lines. They are working diligently to try to get this done. It's a 2017 project, has to be done by then. And the first half of it is already in place. They're working with the State Cartographer's Office, State being the Department of Administration. And the State Cartographer's Office is making recommendations on those elements that need to be used in order to create this statewide map. I just received something from the Department of Administration. It's mostly parcel data, assessment data, zoning data, and floodplain, airport. I mean, they're asking for the world, basically. Anything that we have as far as information is concerned, they want. So that's one of the things which is the state is looking at in order to create this parcel map. The funding for this project, this is just the first project, which is starting in July, which started July of 2014 and will end in September of 2015, is $121,000. So $121,000 just to make a report. From there, I think that's basically all I can have for the Act 20. If there's any questions on that, just shoot them out. If not, I'll move on to the State Comprehensive Portal and Repository Project. The state wants to have one place where everybody can go to collect information. And there was two aspects to this. They wanted a repository where we would take basic information and provide that to the state. Basic information being hydrology, the lakes, street center lines, roads, address points. They wanted to maintain that database so that anybody can go in and can pull that information out. They wanted to create a geoportal, and the geoportal would be something that you go in and you say, I want to see zoning in Kenosha County. The portal would look at that information and then point back to Kenosha County to show the exact area that you need to find for zoning information. I was on that committee, and we looked at this and we said, you know what, those are huge aspects to take a look at one point in time. So the best thing to do is just try to create or try to find a software package that's going to handle this kind of information. So working in conjunction with a geographic information officer who was part of the Department of Administration, who kind of ran this operation, we were able to come up with a database that would handle these kinds of functions. It's called CCAN. And if you ever want to, you can go, you know, when you're bored, just go to the Minnesota site and you can put in, look at CCAN, and it will show you exactly how it works, the geoportal and the repository, and how you're able to look at information from the county level by going to one state site. There were other aspects of this that were kind of held off. Like I said, we just created the recommendation for the software. The second aspect of this is how you want to be able to implement it. And implementation is going to be a very difficult process because they're going to say, well, what information is going to be required? How are we going to set up this portal? How much is it going to cost? Who is going to be doing it? A lot of the meets and It's a lot of the detailed information that they're going to be looking for at the implementation portion. That will happen. The geographic information officer left. That position is open. That should be filled sometime in December. And this next aspect will be probably looked at that point in time when there's a new geographic information officer assigned. And another aspect of this project, which was looked at and said, you know what, we better take a look at it later on, is the governance. And the governance is going to be, of course, where's the money going to come from, and who's going to be able to handle it, and who's going to be able to take care of this this project. I think it's a good project. It's something that needs to be done. Each county has created a very good, I think, database for a lot of their information, but the state has nothing. So this is an idea where we can take county information, supply it to the state. The state can take their databases and put it on this web portal site as well, so you can access state information and county information as well throughout the state. So it does have some merit to it. From there?
Hey, Al, just on that, is there anything, I mean, what would the county, like Kenosha County, have to do with that? Just supply them the information that we already have?
Yes. Like I said, when I got this thing from the Department of Administration, right now all they're looking for is parcel data, and they're looking for anything to do with assessments. This has to do with the very first half of, they call it version 1 project, or V1 project, which is the creation of the statewide map. It's kind of putting the statewide map and the geo portal together in one, and kind of a, you know, working together to create an informational database for an actual visual map of the GIS map. So they're going to be asking for a lot of information, and they're going to see what they can do. But right now it's basically tied to parcels and to assessments. However, they are asking for any county information for zoning, shoreland information, school districts. I think they want to get as much as they can and just kind of, you know, progress from there.
So they're not really asking for us anything more than what we as a county already have.
Yeah, right.
I mean, exactly. Some counties might not have some of that.
Oh, a lot of counties don't have it.
Do they have to get it?
If they can't supply it, then they can't supply it. Otherwise, okay. The Department of Administration will go in to their, you know, different counties and see what they do have and able to supply and how they're able to supply it. Mm. At the same time, they're going to try to create a standardization process in order to say, okay, give us your information, we'll standardize it, and we'll be able to put it in some kind of format that you don't have to know each county's particular, you know, way of putting things together in order to access the data.
And are they still talking about that 31-digit parcel number?
Yes.
The answer to that is yes.
But only if you go through the process of actually changing the parcel number. At one point in time, it was this, if you change the software, you would have to create a 31-digit parcel number. But they have gone back on that now, and they said, no, if we were to decide to change just the parcel number itself, we'd have to use the 31-digit parcel number.
Well, so then if somebody splits or combines parcels, does it come in? Or if we changed our parcel number?
Our whole format.
Like when we went from our old one to our current one?
I think I like what we've got.
Yeah.
I definitely think better than a 31-digit one, I think.
I think it's good, though. I think our parcel number system is very easy to understand,
yes.
And it delineates where the property's at, if you know how to read it, and we certainly don't need to be.
I guess I'm so used to ours. I was shocked when we did this tax software search, we were getting demos from data they had in other counties, and that some of these counties, the parcel number is like B185 is a parcel number, and it completely shocked me. I'm like, what is that number on the left? That's the parcel number. I'm like, are you kidding me? There are like 12 B185s because, you know, every muni has their own B185, and it's like, how does that even make sense? But yeah, I was shocked at some more rural
they
counties.
They don't make any sense. Well,
they're just numbered.
They're just numbers. Ours is good.
So just for instance, if for some reason the city converted over to the county numbering, would that trigger it?
Good question.
Yes. It would? Yes, it would. It would trigger if the city using it. That's the way I understand it. However, I think that the Department of Administration, or Department of Revenue, if you went to them and said, you know, we have this situation where you already have parcel numbers that exist, trying to switch it over to a 31-digit parcel number would actually cause more confusion than to the overall database and what exists. So I don't know. Nobody's done this, so nobody's challenged it. And I think if you challenge it, you might be able to get around it.
But there's a chance.
Was there ever any talk of having the city convert over?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
It doesn't really matter. It hasn't been a problem.
No, no, not at all.
And okay. The reason for that is they have the same number of characters. It's just a different order.
Spacing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We thought we might have problems with that as far as looking at the new software that we were having. IT has definitely said it's not a problem at all. So. Don't you like the way I looked at you when I said that, Mike?
Remember, you're under that umbrella now. Yeah. Al. You can't say IT in quite the same way you used to.
IT said that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I guess we'll move from the portal. That's a project that's in process and it'll probably be something done over the years. They have version 1 now, then they'll have version 2, then they'll have version 3, and then, you know, it'll just keep going and going further and further along. But this is they tried this before, they being the state, they've tried this before and it's failed. And I think it has some backing from the counties and from state agencies. But I'll tell you, you think some county departments don't get along? State agencies are worse. I mean, mm-hmm. They are really, really bad. Nobody talks to one another up there. And I mean, I was just totally amazed at how little communication there is between different state agencies.
Mm-hmm. I gave the DOR a lecture at our last conference that we'll be happy to provide you with all of the data you want as long as you share it with the DNR and the DOA so we don't have to send it 3 different times in 3 different formats.
You know, that's what we have right now. We send information to the Department of Revenue. It's in a standardized format, but you know, the Department of Administration wants something in a different standardized format. So where's the...
So coffee? Get their act in order.
Yeah, exactly right. You're already doing it, sending the information up there. It's in a standardized format. Why not just use that? But the Department of Administration said they're working with the Department of Revenue to do it, but they have the authority to make the final decisions on what it's going to be standardized.
I told them we were going to send them back to kindergarten if they didn't get their act together.
Thank you. The next three kind of go together. I gave this report out for you. It's the 2014 Wisconsin Land Information Program report. It's done by the Department of Administration. You just kind of go through it. It's a pretty informative report, and it shows a lot of where grant monies are going, some you know, where there's going to be visits by the Department of Revenue. And I'll go into some future grant projects and also some surveys that were performed for different kinds of elements. One of the basis things of this report is, of course, has to do with the $5 action fee. The Department of Administration has hinted, I think you can see that on page 7, that there will be, is it page 6? Excuse me, page 6 is what I'm looking at. That they will be getting in somewhere in excess of $6 million, and they want to try to take that $6 million and allocate some of those funds back to the county. They almost have to. I don't know what the DOA would do with $6 million, but one of the things they're looking at is awarding each county a $50,000 grant every year, again, for land records modernization. The other thing that has come up is to do aerial flights for the entire state. And that might be a good thing. However, Kenosha is at a 3-inch pixel, which is a very fine, defined aerial flight. And they were talking about 12-inch and for the area around here, and 18-inch for the northern counties, which would be a huge step backwards. So we'd probably have to negotiate with, if they went that direction, negotiate with the Department of Administration saying, you know what, we're at this level, I think we should get funding for this and not actually be part of the project, but be able to receive some of the monies for a project to use what we already have in place. But again, that's a conceptual thing. It hasn't actually gone through, but has been discussed.
How long has it been since we've been at 12-inch pixels?
Gotta be 40s or
10 30? Was 3. Before that was 6.
Six.
Yeah.
I know, it's but gotta 90, be maybe? 20 yes. plus years
yeah.
before, since yeah. the last time we were at 12-inch.
You can see some of the things here that are very interesting is that the Department of Administration, starting in 2015, is going to take $200,000 for administrative expenses. And the statewide parcel mapping, as you can see, in 2015 will be $264,000, and then increased to $500,000 for 2016 and 2017. And just to let everybody know, there already has been a statewide parcel map that was developed by individuals in the Wisconsin Land Information Association. It took 4 guys 2 weeks to put it together. So
$500,000 a year?
Yeah, $500,000 a year in order to build it. So I'm not sure how much better they're going to make building it, but it's...
it'll be a lot
yeah,
better.
Yeah, and it needs to, and that timeline is 2017 in order to create that project. Let's see... the other things that the report has on here is showing some of the county survey and some of the priorities that are associated with it. That's on page 7. They asked different counties what they thought would be the ideal situation as far as if you focused on just mapping itself, where would you put the extra 50,000 at? And I listed that, I guess I was a little selfish on this one, I listed survey documents and then other, as far as the priorities are concerned, because we have most of the others already there, but it was just a survey that was done, and it has nothing to do as far as saying that we're going to go in that general direction.
And just by seeing this, are a lot of counties not keeping up with their remonumentation?
Oh, yes.
I mean, I'm like, there's where, a lot there.
I mean, Dr. Bauer is involved with us, but...
Yeah, I know. I this is a very interesting point. You just brought this up. I was at a meeting. It was a President's Council meeting, and I was there, and they have different organizations. And one individual stated that the county board for Buffalo County actually refused to allocate money towards the PLSS, the monumentation system. That is the basis for surveying, for anything to do with creating parcels. Yes.
Can I just, I'm kind of new to that area. Those are the fixed points that we do all our survey from around the county.
Exactly right. Dr.
Like
Bauer could probably talk about it a little bit better.
These little things right here.
Yeah.
And those are strategically placed throughout the county, and that's what we work off.
And that's basically what is being worked off of. And that develops... the whole basis for parcel mapping and for surveying is those corners. They probably are the foundation. They have to be in the ground before anything else starts. It's probably the most important feature. And it's one of those things that's not very glamorous. Right. Nobody really pays too much attention to it, but I really think it is probably one of the most important elements. It is probably the most important element in order to do any kind of mapping, computerized mapping as well.
But if they're not accurate and up to date, then nothing is for us.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
How many are in Kenosha County?
Monuments?
Oh, gosh.
Ish.
Is it 5,000? Something like that? Do you have any kind of clue, Dr. Bauer? Is it somewhere around there? More? Less? I think it's somewhere around there. I'm not positive, but I'm thinking somewhere close to that. Every section has been monumented. There are... what's called meander corners, which are close to lakes. You can't actually put a point in the middle of the lake, so you put one close by. So I think that that's what we're looking at, somewhere in that vicinity. And those monument points through the sewer pack are checked on a regular basis. They take a portion of the county themselves, and they go through and they identify how are these actual monuments in the place they actually should be, or have they been altered by some point? A farmer could come out and hit a point, hit a monument and or dig it up or something like that. So you want to go in there and make sure those monuments are in the correct place. The Department of Transportation going through and doing their project, disturbed monuments, And you need to actually go and replace those monuments to put them in the right area. So that is definitely an important feature as well. The parcel mapping priorities, I think I put in there. Then they had data sets needed to improve parcel mapping. They stuck, you know, all the parcel mapping aspect of it, which I don't really understand why they always just hit that. I listed aerial imagery and other underneath that. And general land improvements, I listed software and under and other. You know, we're getting to a point where there's a lot of different agencies that need land records and modernization. So you always just can't point to GIS and say GIS has to have those kind of funds dedicated to them. It's a broad spectrum, and you need to be able to allow different agencies to pick up and say we have a project that we need to focus on or need to take a look at. And especially if we get those extra $50,000 grants in, I mean, all that money going just to a GIS project is an awful lot of money, and it should be displaced to all different departments in order to try to make each department better.
I have to say I was a little shocked by the map here on how often people make changes to their parcel database.
Yeah.
And, like, I know we do ours daily, but I was a little shocked that Racine only does theirs monthly.
Yes.
Racine
does theirs on a monthly basis. So.
I mean, and even Walworth, while more rural, it's like you think, and Milwaukee only does theirs quarterly?
Yes. That's very true. She's talking about
I mean, I know
page,
we haven't had a lot
well,
of building recently, but still.
Yeah.
It is
amazing that, and you can imagine what their website looks like, and especially a realtor going into that website or a title company person going to that website and looking at that and saying, well, you know, it hasn't been updated until quarterly.
Some of them are annually. Changes. They do them once a year.
Yes.
They must do them after the January 1st or something. I don't know.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So again, Kenosha, I think, is ahead of the curve on almost everything that we do up here. I mean, we're really
the whole Southeast except Ozaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shocking to me because I think about how useful if we don't update for a night because of a quirk in the computer system, how freaked out people get about
when's
everything.
Going to show up.
Yeah, it's like, why has it not showed up yet?
I bought it. We closed on it. When's it going to show up?
We closed on it on Wednesday. Why is it not on the website already? So it's like, it shocks me, I guess.
Peter Harrod, who works for the Department of Administration, will be visiting each county before the end of 2015, and they're going to be talking to land council members. And what they basically want to know, or what he wants to know, is about the land modernization process, partial initiatives, the grant concept, what people think about that, where we think some strengths should be, weaknesses are, where you want to try to allocate different kinds of funding, and just get a general feel for land councils. I have to say that we are, again, in a real good position here because the land council meets twice a year. There are many land councils that never meet. Or if they do, they have like three members that meet. So this is something that's required in statutes. We meet it, and it makes the department administration very happy, even though it's not the most exciting meeting in the world. I can guarantee you that. But at least we do get some information out. Department
some people don't know they're on the land council.
Yeah, exactly right. Some people are excluded treasurers.
Ocotlán County.
You got that right. Moving from that, if you have any questions on that, I think this report is a fairly comprehensive report. You can kind of go through it, and you can kind of get a general idea of where projects are being allocated and where resources are going to be put. The aerial photo project, I think we were supposed to talk about that. I'm not really sure what happened, but the land information office has kind of moved forward along with Andy, we worked with him, and of course with Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning. And the Finance Committee just the other day approved the $146,000 that we're going to be, thank you very much, by the way, for the $146,000 for the aerial photo project. It's a very, very good project. We're moving to a different company. They're called Pictometry. They are the largest aerial photo agency in the entire United States.
Is that the one you demoed for us?
Yes.
I think the one at the Sheriff's Department recently.
Yes,
okay. What's the name of that company?
Pictometry. They're going to be doing a flight that shoots down, like the aerial photos that we have right now. And
At three inch,
the same inch that we have right now of resolution. And they'll also be doing one where they shoot at an angle. It's called oblique photography that will actually be able to turn and see a building at a 360-foot radius. You'll be able to go all the way around the building.
Just made the tactical response thrilled.
Yes, I know.
I'm anxious to get
there. And I really think that was a good move, especially for tactical response and also for fire and rescue.
Exactly.
It shows the areas that you want to enter.
It's better because it's updated more often, and we know when it was updated.
Yep. Same thing that Google does?
It's the same thing that Bing kind of does. And actually, Pictometry flies Bing. The only problem that you have with Bing is sometimes it's done with leaf on, so you can't see all the way through where the county will have leaf off. And the other thing is the parcel lines will not be on Bing, so you'll be able to identify the parcel itself. I actually think that an officer might be able to go out in the field, pull it up an app on his cell phone, and see the actual structure itself, and if there's any fences or anything else around the building itself, if there's any kind of incident that does occur.
Mm-hmm. Won't our resolution be better than Bing?
Oh, our resolution will be as good, if not better, than Bing.
And the Google ones are generally Street View.
Yes.
They're not the oblique.
Right.
You don't get the 360.
You just get Street View.
Milwaukee County has this, and actually the city of Racine has this as well. You use pictometry, and they do this. And Milwaukee County has kind of been setting the pace, and they actually have a system that shows the oblique photos that the county has. They have Google Maps, and they have Bing, so you can kind of choose which one you want to see in order to fulfill your requirements better. Like, Joe here might want to see, well, here's the front of you, I want to see that. And, of course, for any kind of emergency, you want to see the whole area around it. So I think it's a multi-purpose, multifunctional kind of aerial flight.
So is that going to be available to anyone?
It should be available to anyone.
So people can take a look at your backyard?
It's a possibility.
Some of us don't have backyards, so it's fine.
It is a possibility, yes. That okay. You could do that. That's what the plan is to do it.
Not that I don't have anything wrong in my backyard.
I was going to say, Marty, what are you putting in your backyard?
Like real time, like they're going to be able to
see
what he's doing in the backyard today.
So that decision was made then?
It's pretty much been made that we're heading in that direction. One of the very nice things, as you would know, Andy, is 10 years ago the project cost $202,000. Just for the straight down shot, and there's been so much competition. Well, there's a couple companies that really want the business, so the price has been knocked down considerably. Plus, the technology's gotten much better as well, so that's why the price is going down.
And the obliques will be countywide.
The obliques will be countywide. Mm-hmm. So we're just not looking at urban areas; we're looking at every place.
And that 146 covers the whole.
Yes.
County, the costs for everything.
We got a markdown and half price sale.
Plus, Sewer PAC is good enough to give us a federal grant for $17,000. We've got a carryover of $63,000. So actually, the bonding that we're going to have is like $64,000 to do this project, which is very low cost for, I think, what we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
One other aspect I wanted to put out there, too, is that the 911 system is... pictometry is part of their partnership with 911 as well. So there might be a way to tie in 911 with pictometry.
Right.
So we're looking at a lot of different aspects of this that are very much positive.
Was that the decision to allow anyone access? Is that something that, because it's public record, we couldn't
secure it? That thing has to be tested through Corp Counsel. I just thought public access would be the way to go with it, but I'm not really sure. It's expending public funds, so that's one of those kind of issues that you get into. And public funds versus security, I'm not really sure how that would work, and that's something that Corp Counsel, I think, would have to answer.
And one other thing I kind of just wanted to add for background on this with funding, I think is important to know, is that previously the county, after switching to LIDAR in 2010, set aside $30,000 a year for maintenance that we thought that we might need just to do updates throughout the county, which wasn't used, and that was kind of held and carried over for 2 years, and that's where the $60,000 came from. And that is even less than what the maintenance used to be before LIDAR. So when you look at the cost savings, it's really substantial. Mm-hmm. We're getting so much more for so much less.
Yeah. And you know, what another thing that's really happening in Kenosha County, as everybody knows, is it's exploding. I mean, you know, we got Uline coming in,
Amazon.
You know, Amazon's coming in, and I have been working with Summers, and they have gotten a zillion offers about things along the eye. You probably know about that as well, Andy. And there is going to be a lot of development in the near future. So, you know, we may actually be looking at coming back 3 years from now and saying, you know what, we have developed so much that we want to show these other footprints that exist for these different companies that are coming in just to generate more business.
So at least fly over a...
Yeah, fly over, exactly right. Fly over a swath of area to show what has come in. And, you know, just to, you know, once you have one company come in, then everybody else all of a sudden thinks, you know what, these guys are coming in. We ought to take a look at this too, because we ought to come in as well. This must be some kind of hot spot. And I really do think that that would be really great, because Joe would make a lot of commission off of everything. I shouldn't have said anything, because Mr. Roy made it too, you know.
Joe, hey.
Being a realtor. Yeah. You see where I'm trying to point my fingers to here.
You're right.
But that's where one area is, that LIDAR. We were holding that money for, to actually, one of the things was to fly the I-94 corridor with the update to LIDAR. In that area, 1 mile on each side, because so much has changed. We didn't do that because I-94 wasn't finished, and that's going to be put off for a couple more years, but that's a thing that's kind of still on the table for discussions, is when would it be appropriate to, like, update the LIDAR just for that section, and maybe they'll tie in with
the
aerial photos.
They might.
Yeah.
Could actually do
but
that,
that's
yes.
things that we're all talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're talking about it, too. That's the thing.
Yeah. Planning for it.
That's the best part about it. So the area photo project, that's kind of where that one lies. Amending the land, the modernization plan. The last time the modernization plan was updated was 2010. And it is updated according to the Department of Administration as of 2014. But everything we have in there is old. We need to kind of go where technology is going and bring this up to date so that we have different kinds of projects, different kinds of maintenance purposes that we're looking at right now that fit today's technology, instead of looking at what happened in 2010. That way, when we go, every year I have to qualify where monies are being spent to, and it gets more difficult and difficult.
Further away from the plan.
Yeah, when you go back 2010 and say, well, you know, we're doing the hard copy maps of this, instead of saying, well, we're doing digital copies and handing this information off in a digital kind of format. So we need to actually try to update this plan. I believe we should probably do that on almost a yearly basis or bi-yearly basis in order to make it more accurate to what is actually being done in the counties itself.
Probably a bi-yearly would be
reasonable. I think so. And we might start looking at that maybe even this year, to tell you the truth. I really think it's an important factor and it should be looked at.
And it has to be updated in 2017?
2017, it has to be updated.
Okay.
And another thing which is going to be happening is the geographic information officer, the guy who's hired. Right now, nobody looks at these plans. I mean, absolutely nobody.
We have to send them, but
yeah,
nobody
we send
does
them,
anything
but nobody
with
looks
them.
At them. But the geographic information officer that would be hired by the Department of Administration, that is going to be one of his major functions, is looking at these plans and making absolutely sure
that we're spending money according to the plan.
Exactly right, spending money according to the plans. Mm-hmm. That kind of any questions on that? That kind of sums up that. The last thing I had is something I just more or less should have just asked Joe about, but that has to be a GIS presentation to regional realtors. What I have somebody new in my office that took Mary Nelmar's place, Megan Smith, and she's a title company person. And I went to her and I said, what's the one thing that could improve the interactive mapping site? And she looked at me and she says, help the realtors. She says, it's a very, very wonderful product for realtors, but a lot of realtors don't know how to use it. So what I thought we might be able to do is to actually have a simplified version coming out to the realtors, possibly if you have a regional meeting. Yeah, and just kind of doing a demonstration, showing them some of the basic aspects that they can look at through the interactive mapping process and how it could help them and do their job.
You know, I use it all the time, and I put the maps of that parcel on each listing, you know, under the document section where 99% of them don't. Every now and then I run across one here and there, but a lot of them don't use it. And to me, it's great. I mean, especially you got an oddball lot in the city, let's just say, where it got a little jog in it like that, or, you know, the stuff in the county. Where does it go? You know?
Yeah.
I always laugh about how much time we spend on the phone. And often, you know, sometimes there are people from wherever or homeowners, but a lot of times our realtors who have no idea the information that's on the website and that they can just print off what the taxes are and all of those sorts of things when they're talking to people because they get that question all the time and walking them through how to get
I could go to the board and just ask them, you know, if they could set up when we have a membership meeting, maybe have
Yeah, it could be just a local
a topic in the meeting.
The Southeast District, if you want to do that.
Okay, or they could invite, like, Racine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
As well, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody can be invited. But that was the one thing that I know that she recommended highly, was saying, you know, realtors need to have a little better understanding of exactly what resources are out there.
I'll bring it to the higher-ups and see if they'll do it.
I appreciate that.
I'm sure they'll be happy.
Almost every realtor comes to, like, is there an annual meeting or something like that, or what draws like the most numbers?
You have pretty much regular
that's usually
meetings.
The golf outing now. And that's way down.
I was gonna say, by the ATD.
They don't go to meetings. I don't think the Board of Realtors meetings, you know, if there's, I don't know how many members we got, around 300 maybe.
Yeah.
High twos.
You had a special meeting for that, I think.
Maybe they would call.
People come.
Right. Make it more than a membership meeting. Maybe a special meeting.
Because I just
stick it in green.
I think it was like 5 years ago, they invited Ben Feeblecorn of our office to kind of just do a presentation downtown some restaurant, and there was only 10 people.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
But you got to get lots of numbers to help.
And really, the way that all this, everybody's going everywhere nowadays, a lot of them go to Racine, Kenosha, Walworth, they, you know, this stuff all over it. Realtors from all around should be invited to it, I would think.
The measurement tool alone is fascinating.
Oh,
I did it for a permit for my shed recently, and for Sheriff's Department stuff, just playing with it, I was able to do property lines and measurements. It's incredibly accurate, actually. It's very nice.
Well, and when we've done them a couple of times, demos at like public events and expos and things like that, people are shocked by how you can create mailing lists based off of them with buffer areas and all that kind of stuff. So there's so many things that people can use.
Right. Louise and I actually did that when you first developed it. We actually went to a couple of different real estate offices and demonstrated how they could use it to create mailing lists in the buffer zones. Okay, so you sold a property here. Let's open this up and see what are these addresses. We'll get that, you know, you can get that and get that sent out.
It'd be great for realtors to get listings. You know, use that buffer and just start sending out their information to those individuals.
Yeah, I'll call them up and see if they can do something. Okay, pull together a meeting.
That'd be wonderful.
We could do it together and make it useful, and then if they had questions for any aspect.
To me, it's very useful. I mean, when you're out there working, to me, it answers a lot of questions for you. The whole website. You know, the maps plus the...
You're a fantastic realtor.
We know all that.
Kiss up.
That's really all I have, I think.
Oh, is that all? What number are we on now?
13.
Okay.
Can I just say something with that? That maybe when we get the new aerial photos and a decision is made about the pictometry, like potentially getting an article in the paper... Mm-hmm. on the process or something that could just explain it and get people to the site, just to get more knowledge out.
Or an article, even an article in the paper on when the demonstration is going to be.
That would be an excellent suggestion.
When and where.
Because we did that the last time when we came out with the property inquiry site. They did a whole article on the property inquiry site and how to get to it and all that stuff. So I think that would be useful when we update everything and that we're having the meeting and if you want to come.
Oh, excellent.
That's Terry Flores.
Yeah, she does a really nice job.
Terry Flores takes care of the county, so talk to her.
Good idea. Excellent idea. I like that a lot.
Joe Allen, would you like to give us an update?
Okay, I'm next. Yep, I can give you a brief update. At our last meeting in May, we were talking about how we had we were in the RFP stage to get all of the records digitized for my office, all the land records digitized all the way back to 1850. That has been done. We've selected our vendor, and they came in, and in 2.5 weeks, they scanned every book and document in our office back to 1850. They did that 24/7. I have, they were great. Hardly knew they were there. That was the easy part.
Yeah.
Now they are in the process of enhancing those images so that they are readable. A lot of times over the years, as the image fades, they're hard to see. The ink starts to fade. You can't really tell. They have the technology where they can make them look like brand new documents, where they can darken the ink and lighten up the background and remove flaws in the image and crop the images. So they're in the process of doing that. The other part of it is they are going to be indexing them so that not only do we have the digital copy, but they are will be able to retrieve them. You don't want to just scan it in and then, you know, have a great big giant library. How do you find it? So they will be fully indexed as well. And another thing I found out last week at my conference, I was talking to our vendor about my concern that digital images, the integrity of the digital image versus microfilm, that microfilm is supposed to be a better archivable material. And he was talking to me about some kind of a Blu-ray disc that there is available now that they can put the images on, that the lifespan is 1,000 years. It's got some kind of special coating on it that any Blu-ray reader can read it, but not there's only like 3 in the country that can actually burn to this disc and create this image on this disc. So they're going to be all the images, in addition to the regular way that they're giving us the images back, they're going to give us a backup set on these discs. So we're going to have these, every image that we sent to them, we're going to get back on this disc that's got a special protective coating on it that he tells me is going to last for 1,000 years. So I was very happy to hear that.
I guess we'll see how well.
Yes, I guess we will see.
Apropos of nothing except to take up some time. always keep a hard copy. The technology, whatever they promise you, will change.
Yes, it will.
And the question will be in the future. We've had that situation in the past where we've... Waukesha County, we produced their topographic maps in digital form, mm-hmm. promised to last forever. 10 years later, they didn't have the software or the hardware to read the tapes. And that's going to happen in the future. I mean, that's my opinion.
Right.
So I would hope that the Register of Deeds would always want to keep one hard copy of everything, because
we'll keep what we have.
And our society's changing, America's changing, technology's very expensive, and whether as a society how long we'll be able to afford some of these things is questionable now. At the Regional Planning Commission, I can tell you that IBM played the game for years where the commission used to have the biggest computer installation in the state. And about every 2 years, IBM would come and say, well, we're not maintaining the IBM 725 anymore. And you should upgrade, and it's going to cost you so much, you know.
Well, that's a nature.
So these things, I'm just saying, we're not going to change any of this, and what you're doing is right. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying we should all be a little cautious about what the technology will do. And that goes for the LiDAR and the ortho, the oblique versus vertical photographs. Every day a technologist is going to come along with a product to tell you that you needed that you never knew you needed. until he raised it. So it's an ongoing thing, and it will be something that you'll all watch. That's why you have the council here. That's
right.
All, you know.
Right. Keep an eye on it. But these DVDs are not. It's not an additional fee to our contract. They're providing them to us because they have it available. And they will, he said he'd download all the images. That'll be an extra thing they're giving us. But I am still also looking at microfilming our regular digital images that we scan every day after this project is finished to convert our digital so that we do have something that if something were to happen, we were to lose those images, we would have at least a microfilm backup.
Yeah. Where are the books going to be kept?
They're going to be right where they are for now.
Okay.
We don't have any plans on moving them anywhere else.
We've got nowhere else to move them.
Yeah, we don't necessarily need to move them anywhere else. If somebody somewhere along the line decides they need that space, then we'd have to figure something else out. They're currently still being used because we haven't been able to, the project's not completed. But once the project's completed, they'll be
registers
done.
Of deeds are...
Required.
Wonderful people. I mean, very sincerely, it's amazing to me how we were asked to do some work for Walworth County where we can retain, records from 1848.
Even older.
Any problems, and that system is historic in the United States, the idea that you have to record a
land record, right?
To have it, really valid.
But it wouldn't be possible without
the surveyor.
It's
a great thing. So all I'm saying is that I don't know if people really appreciate the importance of the Register of Deeds function.
Thank you.
And
makes private ownership
It's very,
possible.
Very important.
Thank you.
But don't trust the technologists. There was a prime minister of Israel at one time made the comment that never let the technologists get near the cash register.
I remember a couple of years ago, Louise shared some information from Cedar Rapids when they had the floods. And that their administration building was flooded. And the Register of Deeds was in the basement.
Much like
right.
here.
Much like here.
And the only thought comes to mind is how do we protect those documents, those original documents? The basement is the worst place to be. And
I don't know why we were put down there.
Big building.
Yeah.
And, because everything always. Yep. Flows downhill. Right. So, but, I don't know.
You
ought
to be on the top.
Any thoughts about, plastic tarps or something or anything that if there was a fire or something that we could, protect?
Yeah. Right, protect those old records. Well, the main thought is that everything is now scanned. So we have a backup that we never had before.
Right.
So that's a sense of relief, actually, that I don't have to worry about losing everything because it is all scanned. And then you want to keep it beyond that point. But people do want to keep those original books and they want to keep them safely. So, I haven't really... There are unbelievable... to say some counties that are actually considering destroying their books.
Oh, wow. I thought you were not allowed to.
I thought we were not allowed to either, but with the Electronic Recording Act...
Oh, now you can. Gosh,
they say... I agree that it's a mistake. I have to look further.
But it's never been tested.
But it's been brought to my attention that the Electronic Recording Act allows us to create digital images of all our records and destroy the records that we have. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it meant to destroy the historical record, but the way that it's written,
it can
there are some
that.
Counties that are interpreting it that way. And
since there's no case law on it.
Yeah. That's not a direction I have been considering, but I questioned it. And I actually, it's something I wanted to bring up with Corp Council to see if there isn't something else in the statute that would override that for the historical records that we have.
Oh, and I think about just how interesting it is to go downstairs and look at some of those older records in their right. natural form.
Right.
And how important that is for the history of the county. It's a little shocking that they
would even consider that.
Yeah.
No, I'm considering, you know, fixing the books and they're destroying
Fortune
them.
The birth.
Yeah.
Books, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And there's some IT work that needs to be done as well. Right?
Yes. This is probably more towards the redaction piece of it. Right now we're in the process of migrating over from our previous imaging system, IMS 21, to the new and more robust and more functional laser fiche system for the document imaging. So we already have all of the old records pulled out of IMS 21 and in a staging area to go into the new system. We're doing some massaging of that data right now to make sure that the proper indexing is in place there. And then we're working with TriMan over the next couple of weeks to be able to configure the TriMan system to start pointing to the new laser fiche system for those documents. Once we start having that stuff in place, we are going to be going through a process to actually scan through all those images and start the redaction stuff. LaserFiche has a module that will actually look at the stuff and look at the documents and find specifically where a social security number is, block it out, and then put a flag on it so that the Registrar of Deeds office can determine, do I need to print this redacted or non-redacted, where all the documents that would be presented to the public would be redacted documents. Until we actually start doing some performance testing, we don't know exactly how long that process is going to take. We do estimate it will be several months to go through all of them and properly redact them, especially since we have to be conscious of system resources during business hours. We're planning on doing this during long hours,
overnight,
the weekends. So we got to be aware of those different limitations as we're going through this as well. But it's in process.
I also would like to bring up, though, an important point of the whole redaction process. We've been working on this for years, and we've been looking at different ways to get this accomplished and different things that IT was going through during the process and getting off the AS400 and wanting to move to a different imaging system. And we go with this company to do the redaction, or should we do it this way? And we didn't make any decisions ahead of time. We waited until we knew what direction we were going to go in before we started moving forward with it. And what that really has done, I believe, has saved us a bundle of money. This new imaging program, being able, you paid for is the imaging program, which we were going to be getting a new imaging program anyway, is able to do the redaction for us. So we're not contracting out hundreds of thousands of dollars to another company to redact these documents that have already been scanned. So that money is what's been used to get our everything else imaged so that we have a better backup, and then those images are easier to redact once they go through the system. So I would like to compliment our IT department on being on top of the whole process and being sure that, you know, all their, especially Mike, all the ducks were in a row and that things moved forward efficiently, but not, you know, not hastily and in the proper order.
Well,
I am very pleased with the way the process has moved forward.
I think as a committee, to what Dr. Bauer was saying earlier, that's one of the important functions for us to continually to be looking at, is to make sure that our records are going forward, whether it's going from a better imaging system, like going from IMS-21 to LaserFiche or whatever, to make sure that we plan for that, have the resources to deal with the upcoming conversion, know it's coming, know how we're going to change everything and what effects it's going to have on everything else. So it's something that it's important that we're continually looking at so that we don't get behind an eight ball where we have no access to records or something like that.
Right,
so.
Right. A lot of thorough vetting being done. Nothing's being done hastily.
Well, I think we've come a long ways from the era that we used to have to burn CDs on a monthly basis. We used to just assure her that we've captured all the information, and so she could put it on her shelf and say, I've got a backup.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, we have used those CDs, though. You'd be surprised. Not lately, but we have.
Back in the day.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the update.
Yep.
Maybe an update on our new land information tax billing system between...
After you, Terry. They heard enough of me. I don't want to hear anything.
Are you sure you don't want to talk anymore?
No, I don't really.
I think we're getting very close to...
We're on the cusp now, I think, finally. So, interestingly enough, I had our annual fall meeting with the municipal clerks and treasurers. So they got their first little look at the system that we're going with, and I think they took it well. What do you think, Mike?
I would agree.
Yeah, I think they took it well. We try to give them plenty of time because, of course, we like to let them know what minimum system requirements are going to be for them, so they have time to prepare for that internally, so that the system will work well for all of them, and also so that they have some time to play around in the program and know how to use it before they're in the middle of prime tax collection December and there are lines and they're going slowly because it's a new system. So we've been working on that. Over the next year here is when we're going to be really starting to play with the data and bringing things over. And Al's first up with some assessment roles, and then we kind of bring over everything else and test things on both systems to make sure the numbers are coming out right and we're not sending out tax certificates to people who owe us no money and fun things like that. So we've got a tentative calendar.
Right. I mean, this is a lot like Register of Deeds. It's a journey. It's something, implementation of a new system that doesn't go in overnight, and there's going to be a amount of parallel running between the old system and the new system, and that's tax billing is very critical for everyone's credibility. We want to make sure it's correct and everything goes according to statute and etc. So it's good. So I would imagine it's going to be a year, right, that we're going to be working on this and before we get to decommission the old system. But we're, a lot of work up front in defining the requirements and finding the vendor and doing an RFP and, a lot of tedious work to get to the point of awarding a contract. So thank you very much, both of you.
And Mike.
I can just say one thing, too. The format and how it looks may look a little different. So before we get time to convert, we need to talk to land title people and also to realtors and show them exactly what the new screens are going to be looking like and things like that and where to find some of that information. So just to put that out there too, that won't be forgotten. And you won't go in one day, Joe, and take a look at it and go, what the heck's going on here?
As we move forward, this, we're definitely going to have to take a close look at the web piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Our goal, Joe, and everyone really, has been, as we're talking about this, we've all kind of agreed that the company that we go to offers a web portal, but it offers less information than what we currently have. And we've all kind of decided that we do not want to go with less information for the public than what we already have. So that was one of our goals there, so that we're not shortchanging you on what's coming out. So
what was the company?
GCS is the name of the company.
And like for next year, is it going to be a duplication thing and then 2016 would be
full on okay. Only one system? Yeah.
All right.
Yep. So, GCS is working on some upgrades internally to meet some of our needs as well. So that's part of why it's a tentative rolling calendar. If they meet their deadlines, we should be good on our deadlines. So,
and a bulk of their updates should be available to us in the spring.
So that's kind of where our goal is to get started, is the spring.
So what was interesting in this whole process was there were companies that did tax billing very well. And there were companies that did land information very well. And
nothing really in the middle.
Right. So the challenge was to find one company, so it's an integrated system that does both things well. There has to be some enhancements done by the vendor in order to fit our requirements, and that's scheduled for first or second quarter of next year. So, but I mean, that's one of the challenges that we faced with.
Well, we're unique. The company that we're going with is in several other counties across the state, but we are unique in Kenosha with the fact that we have all this building data here in Kenosha that other counties don't have or have an ability or have never collected. And so they don't naturally have a repository for building data because no one else they work with collects building data. So that's one of the things that is something that they have to update, because we have that history of countywide assessing. We've always gotten building data since 90s, right?
Assessor's office.
Yeah. So it's been unique that way, because in those ways, with our history, we're a little different than the bulk of counties. So even though they're in, 30 counties or whatever, none of them have ever had building data that they wanted to pull in. So it's things like that that we're working with them to upgrade so that we can maintain our data that we already have, and hopefully increase some functionality.
And I can tell you many counties are very happy that we are on board, because we are moving in a direction that they've wanted to go for quite some time, and Kenosha County is kind of leading the way, and they're going to be benefiting from a lot of the different kinds of functions that we're going to be asking for.
There were some unique phone calls when we were calling the references, when we were doing it, and all of those things, or now that we're talking to our fellow listers and treasurers who are on the system, and a couple of them have said to me, which I'm sure they've said to you, they're like, we're so excited you're with us, because you'll make them do what we want. it is kind of funny that way. Mm-hmm. So
I did hear some feedback from the municipal meeting that you held, that GCS was there and they were very professional, which is very relieving that they were able to go in and present themselves well and demonstrate that, have some confidence in the solution that we selected. So,
A couple of our, at least one of our municipal treasurers has worked with GCS in a former job that they had in another county. So they were excited to be seeing us go to GCS, because they have a history with them and they recognize the fact that they do good work. So that was good to hear as well from that meeting. It's nice to get somebody outside of us who have been working on this for what seems like forever. idea on what they're seeing, and they were excited about some of the functionality they're going to bring to the table on what they can see and do at the municipal level. So another thing that we're excited about, which I'm sure some of you will be excited about, is the fact that the system will allow us to pull over the municipal tax data on a nightly basis, so we won't have to wait for them to finish their collection period to load all that data in, so that the website will be updated regularly. So if you made your payment in the town of Brighton, that payment will be reflected on the county website the next day after we've updated everything. So that will help, and it will help me with all the phone calls of people calling and saying, I paid my taxes, why doesn't the website say I paid my taxes?
Very good. Moving on, Gil?
I'll try to be brief here. The last meeting we had, I talked about the Kenosha County Hazard Mitigation Plan. I just brought the copy of it for you here to see. And again, this is that four-year plan that identifies all of the hazards Kenosha County may, could, will, and did experience. It's incredibly comprehensive. It has got everything. If you want to know anything.
The commission never puts out less than 500.
It's amazing. And I looked at it stunned until I started to use it as a reference. Please, if you need to know anything about populations, areas, and growth, and risk, and flooding, it's all right here. The state, it is. The state hazard officer described it as probably the most comprehensive local plan she's seen. But it is due in 2015. I've submitted for that grant, as I said at last meeting. And we cleared another hurdle. The FEMA has accepted the budget narrative. And this has gone to SewerPAC for some refining for the final submission. But it looks promising. Yeah. It looks like, hopefully, fingers crossed, we may get approved for this. And again, that'll be a long process. I'll be inviting a lot of people in on to update this for another 4 years. And of course, that's a very important document to all the other issues that come along with emergency management and recovering funds and disaster funds. So it's why it's important. So enough on that. Just to update you, we had a few exercises already this year, and particularly one on September 26th. It was a functional exercise involving a gas main break. And some issues came to light when we were creating the scenario, and particularly about mapping, bringing in elements from We Energies and their system and their mapping system right into the Emergency Operations Center. And how are we going to do that, and how are we going to get accurate maps of an area to the Emergency Operations Center. So I dragged in land use, Scott and Greg, I believe it was, and asked them, hey, you want to play along? And they said, sure, raised their hand. And we threw them into the scenario. It was fantastic. It worked great. They actually, we made the phone call, defined the area we needed, and they were able to produce two sets of maps for the Emergency Operations Center and for the Incident Command Post. We facilitated getting those to the Incident Command Post. And we worked with exchanging information, albeit over technology, and it did function. So it was quite a nice little thing. We might think about writing that into some of our planning on emergency incidents, mapping, be it flooding, you know, any incident that emergency manager might be able to deal with. We might be making the call to land use or and asking, can you send us this resource digitally and or create it for us instantaneously? And they were able to do it right there, and it was evaluated. So it was a neat experience there. Which leads me into eSponder. And this is another effort that I've been trying to utilize more. And it's existed for quite a while. eSponder is the state's virtual emergency management system. It's structured much like government. It's created and maintained at the state level. You'll see it up here on the board. And it follows through, again, structured like government, down to the local level. So just a quick look here. The reason I'm trying to promote a little more is that it's an easy access to exchange information and documents. Rather than trying to pass documents around from individual to individual over email, which usually doesn't work when you're dealing with some of these large files, this is a perfect system to exchange information once you're on the system. The beauty of the system is it's secure. You only let people in that have applied and been approved at the local level, and others can be invited in the system or excluded from it, or permissions can be controlled. Again, it's under the SharePoint system. So it's based on SharePoint. I know we already have a SharePoint system, but this goes all the way up to the state level. And as you can see, this is the state site here. And let's say I was going to go to our region here. We'll go to the Southeast region. And again, now only so many people are granted access to the Southeast region, and that would be everybody within the region, the emergency management directors, and anybody else that the regional director deems have permissions or access. And here we go to Kenosha County, and this is Kenosha County site. Now, in Kenosha County site, we've got many of the departments already established in here. And one of the things I like to pursue, and I didn't see it down here, was to, I've recently added the medical examiner, because they've been involved in some of our exercises. And let's go right back up here to Kenosha County. And I'd like to add either planning and development or land use. I'm not sure which identity I would, or you guys would like to have, but I'd like to add you in this list of sites here. If you have no objection, it can be easily created. And the reasoning being, we can exchange information, documents, that can be secured and shared as you see fit. Now, as you see under shared documents, I've been able to load up Kenosha County's emergency management plan, the mitigation hazard plan, and these are some of the medical mass dispensing plans that Cindy Johnson has established for the county, or her predecessor. And these are all loaded online that anybody who's granted access can see. So it's a neat system. It has a lot of functionality, as long as everything's up and running. To give you an idea, I just started using this last year at Country Thunder. We went into the sheriff's site now, and in Country Thunder, we used it to manage that system. We created a site for Country Thunder and created an event log. And these are all the things about how we geared up for Country Thunder: cellular phone coverage, patrol operations established. Who was it from Environmental Health? Mark Melitek was actually able to go on from his office and load up the results of the well tests and put that in all these situational reports. And these are all the situational reports and logs that occurred at Country Thunder, not all of them, of course. Again, rather than leafing through a binder, another operation or another group can come in and say, what's been going on at Country Thunder? What's the current situation? What information do I log on? They have the site here to get that all at one place. And of course, you have the options for maps, all the mapping. Whatever map resource you might need, it's right there and available to anybody. Nobody has to ask, hey, can you send that on email or can you forward me that? It also has the functionality for, of course, the photos. And of course, we have an aerial there at the site. All of this stuff is available for that site. And again, its permissions are controlled. I think there are a lot of people already in the county who are on it, but if you have any interest in getting access to eSponder, I can give you an easy walkthrough and get you right to the county system where you can access all this information. Again, it is controlled, so not everybody would be able to access it. Let me go back and then show you how we actually did an exercise, and we'll go to the municipalities. City of Kenosha, that was the gas main break. And we did an exercise for them. And there it is, the gas main break was created. And there you can see the log as the scenario unfolded, the calls coming in, and all the issues that had to be dealt with. Rather than passing messages around the room, rather than breaking into briefings, all this stuff can be listed right in the log system. And let's see, situational reports, documents. Let's see if there's anything here. This was the incident action plan, the map library, and shared documents. And of course, the other thing which was helpful was, let me go back here once, I'm sorry. Press releases. And of course, everybody wants to know what's the latest press release. This stuff can be uploaded from your public information officer. And rather than waiting for you to send it, that person can go right to that press release, open it up, and depending on your permission level, again, you can copy it, you can send it, you can download it, depending on what permissions you have. And if you have higher permissions, you can actually amend things. But those are kept for the highest levels. Let's see if this will pop up. And of course, there's the media release. Simulated media release on the incident. So it's, just a brief view of eSponder and what it entails.
Interesting.
So it is available, and if there's no objection from land use, I'd like to maybe create a site here for you guys.
You're talking about land information?
I'm sorry, yeah. Land information, and just have it there. If there's anything you need to put up there and somebody else from the county needed to access it.
That makes sense.
It does.
All you need to do is get, I could give you permission once you go through the walkthrough, and then you could load up whatever documents needs to be assessed countywide.
That sounds wonderful. Yep.
So that's all I have, and I wanted to show you.
Okay. Looks like a nice tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. I'm trying to use it more.
Dr. Bauer, we heard that there was some reorganization.
No reorganization. let me take just a minute, though, because it's getting close to lunch. The commission has provided county surveyor services to Milwaukee County by state law since 1984. And it has, from time to time, provided county surveyor services to Waukesha, Walworth, counties on developing the foundational elements for the land information systems there, particularly the remonumentation of the public land survey system and the placement of state plane coordinates on the remonumented corners. Beginning in 2006, the commission provided county surveyor services to five of the seven counties, including Kenosha County, but also Walworth, Waukesha, Milwaukee, Ozaukee counties. And the commission
which is really a creature of the county boards, in decided that since they'd been providing these services for 8 years, they wanted to see whether the counties were interested in continuing to receive those services or not. And they asked, there's a county board representative from every county on the commission. They asked those representatives, in this case it's Bobby Pitts that represents your county on the commission. They asked the county boards to indicate whether they wanted the commission to continue to offer the county surveyor services. The feedback was that they did indeed want that to continue, and on that basis the commission will continue to offer the services, and each of the counties that's interested will receive a contract, as you have in the past, for those services, and will receive annually a report on the services provided in the past year.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. You're really no change as we go forward.
Very good. Anything else, Dr. Bauer?
No, that's...
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. New business? Any additional items to discuss today?
I think we're all busy.
We had a lot.
I'm like, I think we had enough.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good meeting. Good interaction, good discussion. And so thank you for everybody's time and participation. And with that...
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Very good. Aye. So moved.
So we'll see you in the spring, huh, Dr. Bauer?
I think so. You guys all have a good... holidays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Put on weight.
Almost time to commence holiday baking.
Did Michael Hahn, did he move up?
We had the tornado.
Yeah. Mike.
I were out by yours. We were talking to Max about.